You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Mail It In Friday, brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, where there is currently over 1,000 items for sale. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. sportsmarketplace.ca. Brian Hazy, O'Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It's a Friday afternoon. Raptors coming off a loss last night. James Harden under the number, 36.5 points.
I tracked that, but it
didn't go the way the Raptors were hoping.
No, but I thought I saw.
I owe you 10 bucks.
No, I don't want 10 bucks. I don't want 10 bucks.
What did you say? What was the 10 bucks?
We had 20 for the over under as a little side bet, but I lost 50 on those losers and that loser from Dallas.
I told you the Bears were a lock last night.
Well, you were
big game Mitch Trubisky. Big game Mitch.
You know what we need is we need a whiteboard back here to keep track of all these bets.
I'm telling you, we're even across the board. I think we are dead even. We all get angry every single Monday. Every Tuesday and Friday, one of us is angered.
I know.
But we're just handing back and forth.
But you're angered at that guy.
I know.
That's the problem. There's one common denominator.
That stupid buzzer, I don't know if it's over or not. I don't know if I'm going to use it again.
Here's the thing. We went back to him a second time.
Let me just go nuts to hear that stupid. Listen to this.
Yeah. I love that song, man. I love that
today
song.
Today you do.
No, you have anything to say for yourself or just what happened last night?
Oh, I mean, I don't know what happened, but the Garrett just forgot how to coach and the Cowboys forgot how to play football realistically.
Then why would you tell me to take them? You knew this going in.
It's a good
The Bears are trash, and I don't understand how they came in with the win. Obviously, the Cowboys are even worse.
Well, the Cowboys are an embarrassment. That's 2 weeks in a row they've got blown up on national TV.
Flat embarrassment.
They suck. This Jerry Jones is on a wire right now. You know he's looking to fire everyone.
Well, he does a weekly radio hit on, I think it's The Fan in Dallas, I believe.
He got kicked off today.
Well, do you want to hear how it started? Because yes. I give credit to the host down there, because for starters, Jones, I don't know why he puts himself out this way. I mean, I guess if you're going to be the GM, you've got to do the rounds.
Right.
You know, down in the States, that's what happens. They all do radio interviews all the time. They do TV interviews all the time.
Right.
It doesn't apply up here for whatever reason, but that's the way it happens down there. But he's also the owner of the team. Like, how often? I've never interviewed Larry Tannenbaum, ever. I've never thought to even request an interview with Larry Tannenbaum.
Maybe we should try.
Maybe we should. But the host effectively said, your team's an embarrassment. That was a joke last night. How embarrassed are you that that went down last night on radio in Dallas, and this was the back and forth with Jerry Jones?
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Okay. Now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now, going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Get your damn act together.
Are you embarrassed out of the gate?
Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together.
That is the soundbite.
Oh, yeah.
That could
be
the soundbite
of the
month.
For anyone that says something stupid.
Yeah.
Well,
get your damn act together.
Basically, if Al's brother loses
Al's
a bet.
Al's brother.
Get your damn act together.
That's right.
Yeah. Maple Leafs tomorrow night in St. Louis.
Get your damn act together.
Pascal Siakam, start scoring some points here.
Get your damn act together.
Man.
Anything else we can think of on the fly? Blue Jays. Hey, how about we get in the mix here?
That's true.
Get your damn act together.
Sign a pitcher.
Get your damn act together.
Well, see, I don't. The host bringing the heat like that.
Well, but that's the mood in Dallas. They're embarrassed about this team.
Okay, but.
Embarrassed.
Okay, so just recently, the Leafs went through some turmoil and a coaching change.
People were embarrassed.
Would that be your first comment?
Well, if Brendan Shanahan was on the show, I don't think our first question would be, are you embarrassed right now?
No, because it's reacting to one game. I mean, football, it's such a unique sport because they play 16 times all year.
No, I know.
You have 16
Cowboys,
reactions.
Isn't it seven in a row? Or what have they lost in a row,
Cowboys? No, it's not seven in a row.
No, they lost four of five. That's what I
Yes, and
thought I
that's two
morning.
In a row, two like a row bad losses against the Bears are not much
of a team. It seems like
a
lot for them.
But they're still in first in the NFC East. Like, that's the whole point. The Eagles, they've got Eli and the Giants on Monday night. I don't know if the Eagles are going to win that game. The spread is huge, but they lost to Miami a week ago. Yeah, so a team in the NFC East is going to get in and host a game probably at 7-9.
Who's got the Giants on Monday night? The Eagles?
The Philadelphia Eagles, yeah.
Well, they'll kill them.
Based on what?
I can't wait. I can't wait.
It's your pick.
Okay, good.
It's your pick on Monday.
You're taking Dallas?
Fly, Eagles, fly. What's the spread back there?
It's 9 last time I checked. 9 points. They lost to Miami. Do you understand that? Miami a week ago. Yes, Eli's back, but Eli might have some magic.
By the way, what am I doing? I just swore off of this guy back there, and then I'm looking at him saying, what do you think about the Monday Nighter?
See?
No way.
You go back to the way.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, get your damn act together.
Exactly.
That, you know, that's when we got to use it, is like a self-inflicted
exactly.
Jerry Jones. Like, that's probably what we need to start doing. When we start, you know, kind of popping off a little bit and yelling and screaming, maybe we need to stop and
hold
say,
on
hey,
a second.
Get your damn act together.
Right, that's a good point, Jerry.
I don't mind
I do need
him.
To get my act together.
I don't mind him actually going back at the host.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's worth billions of dollars.
And we also have to save the, I don't feel like bebopping around with, what did he say at the end of
it? Well, he swore at the end, and they basically said, you know, that's enough, Jerry.
Like, you understand bullshit?
No, but what did he say? I don't feel like getting at it with you today or something.
Yeah,
that's at the end of the first clip. But this is how it ended, because he swore, and they're like, Jerry, we're on radio here. Play that again.
Yeah. You understand bullshit?
Wow.
See you later.
So they hung up on him.
Well, I think it was kind of like, this guy is not in the mood at all. Like, he's not young and spry, too. I mean,
no.
That's not too... imply ageism here, but this guy's flying back from Chicago. His team is obviously a mess. They're 6-7. Jason Garrett, he's probably mad at himself because he continues to employ him, and they're not going to fire him now. They're still in first in the division, so it's not going to happen. They get 3 more games in the regular season, then they'll make that call.
How happy do you think he is with Prescott and Elliott?
Can't be that happy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, with the guys who want money. And-
yeah, Prescott... Like, he may be talking himself out of that long-term deal. He might get franchise tagged.
You remember when Zeke signed that contract? It was like, Prescott's up next, and he's going to be demanding that Russell Wilson contract or whatever the hell it is. Not even close.
You know what Jerry Jones is going to say to Dak Prescott's agent if he calls in looking for big-time money?
Get your damn act together.
Exactly.
That's what he's going to say. Get your damn act together.
Yeah. You got that part where he says, I don't feel like bebopping around. What the hell?
At the end. He says, I don't feel like it's like jacking around with you guys.
I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
To jack with you. That could have gone sideways pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
If there's any, like, dyslexia there, there's a real problem. That's a drop for the ages.
That is. He's, I don't mind that, though.
Well, listen.
He's got a lot of vinegar.
He's not happy with himself, with his team.
How old would that guy be? Is he 85 years old?
No, but
he's
in his 70s for sure. We can look that up, but he's 77.
77 years old.
Yeah, 77. I mean, that...
By the way, he does not look... He looks 87.
Yeah, he actually does wear his age a little bit more.
Well, when you're the owner, president, GM, and your team can't win anything... You know, it's going to put pressure on you, and he's flying all over the place to all these games, and it's going south on him. And anyway, he's got to answer for it. They're still in the race. They still might make it. And like I said last night, like, the 49ers might go 12-4, and they have to play at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, because if you win the division, you're going to host a game.
That's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Imagine going 12-4, and you've got to go play a team at 7-9.
By the way, it would be so Cowboys if they, like, they just snuck in, and then they won a game. Like, and then they're like, oh, what a great year. Got into the playoffs. We're right there. That's so Cowboys.
Yeah, Jason Garrett might keep his job if he wins one playoff game. Because then they'll lose the next week on the road, but it'll be close.
We should have got LeBron on today. Like, just to see where his
head
space is at.
He would be so rattled.
No, screw it. Get him on.
He's not happy.
We got a lot going on, but... Yeah, we could maybe call him at some point. Yesterday we were going to call Taddy. Today we might call LeBron.
Well, Taddy was... that was.
Get your damn act together.
Exactly. Let's pull it together.
We can call Taddy for a little yes guy, no guy. Why not?
Okay.
Well, I don't know when we're going to squeeze that in. Jim Taddy, yes guy, no guy.
Well, we got Jack Armstrong in about 20 minutes, so we'll get his take on, you know, how impressed he was with James Harden. Even though Harden didn't put up a ton of points, still high 20s, right. But I thought his ball movement, the way he was reading the Raptors' defense, was a real display last night. I mean, his basketball IQ is off the charts, and trying to shut him down, it's difficult to do because he's going to find someone who's wide open. If you're going to double team him and press him all night, and he gets it out, you're in big, big trouble.
That's why I was kind of witnessing Nick Nurse take a little heat on Twitter, and I don't know if it was justified or not. They're saying, why are you double and triple teaming the Beard and everyone else is just free shots? And there was, I think that, exactly, you take your chances.
I have no problem with that. Honestly, I don't. Because Macklemore hits, what do you have, 8 threes or something last night?
Yeah, you're not going to see that every night.
Austin Rivers is Klay Thompson. Like, right. Yeah, put the ball in their hands, and if they beat you, so be it.
Exactly.
And they still had an opportunity. The Raptors still put up, you know, 110 points.
Sam Mitchell said it on the postgame hit, though. He said, you know what? You leave an NBA player open, whatever their stature is, they're going to get hot sooner or later, and they'll burn you.
They can.
So you want to leave some guy wide open and give him a chance to get into a rhythm, they're going to do it.
It's not ideal.
Obviously.
But, again, Harden is putting up numbers that we haven't seen since, like, Wilt Chamberlain on the court and off the court.
Off the court.
Well, this Wilt. Yeah,
Wilt Chamberlain, he never got his damn act together.
No, but I think his math was challenged.
Yeah, it never. There's no way. He said 20,000 women, I thought it was.
But get your damn act together.
They actually did the math and said this guy, since he was 15 years old, would have had to sleep with like 6 women a day.
Right.
That's not. No.
It just wasn't
possible. It didn't
happen.
There's no way 20,000.
Unless
women.
He got home from practice and just went on a tear.
Well, he's tried to explain the math in the past.
Right.
And he's claimed, you know, it actually isn't like 5 or 6 different women, but it's like 1.5 right. from a certain age to a certain age. And he's claimed like he's
done well.
Doing what he's doing. I don't believe it for a second, but. It's not 20,000, but it's also not 20.
Yeah.
For Wilt the Stilt.
Yeah, he's had himself a time.
Is he still alive?
I believe so. So he might still be racking up some numbers. You never know. Someone texting in, Austin Matthews, you've got to say this to your mustache.
Get your damn act together.
I've had it with that.
Maybe he's got to get rid of the stash.
You think so?
Just for superstition.
I've had enough of it.
Superstition, that's enough. Let's go in St. Louis tomorrow night.
Him and Freddie were at the game last night.
They were.
Saw that.
Yep, they were.
They were allowed to go out and actually enjoy themselves and relax. And listen, they've got a big game. There's no doubt about it. Go in to St. Louis and see what you're made of.
Well, they got a big trip.
Yeah,
because
they're
at Vancouver on Tuesday, at Calgary on Thursday, and at Edmonton on Saturday.
Yeah,
which is the way it should be. You know, we've talked about this in the past.
It's spaced out. Yeah,
it should be. No, it should be the Saturday night, like the prime time, should
McDavid
be McDavid
versus,
every single time.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think, you know, Leaf fans are looking forward to watching that. I don't know if they're going to like the result if it goes the way that it has been recently. But you know, Andreas Janssen, there's another guy injured. He's on IR. He's out for. A minimum of...
Well, they said 10 games.
10 games
said, well,
or 24
game,
days.
Yeah, the
or,
8 games, but you have to make it 10.
Which,
so
to me, this feels like a cap situation to me.
I was just going to say, this guy could probably heal, and they're like, no, you're not coming
I
back.
I think that's basically what's happening here. I think they know he's going to miss 5 or 6, and they're like, go ahead and miss all 10.
Yeah.
Because we need that wiggle room before we hit the road.
Right. That's why they called 3 guys up.
St. Louis and Western Canada. It's the Ricoh Coliseum or Coca-Cola Coliseum, not right around the corner when you're out west.
Yeah.
So I think they're like, we got to get this guy on IR, and it's the reality of their cap situation.
It's terrible to say, but they got lucky in this scenario because you don't bank on injuries, but they do happen. Because if Andreas Johansson was healthy, they would have had to work some other magic. Now, you'd rather have healthy players and try and figure out the magic, but...
And hope you survive on the road and you don't need to call someone
Exactly, but,
on.
Like, you know, right away you could tell it hit... Like, I think I said to Steph, I'm like, that's a broken foot. And again, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't, like... Just the way it hit him and how much pain he was in, you knew that was a soft spot.
Will Chamberlain passed away, I believe, a while ago.
Oh, my God, sorry about that.
Well,
you were the one that brought it up.
Yeah, why would you ask that question? Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together.
You.
Well, we better
your
get
damn act.
I said, is that guy still alive? Like, yeah, you're like, yeah, of course. He's all good. It's all good. And I'm like, no, you know what? I don't know. I think
he died in his late 60s now. I remember reading about him not long ago. I should have known that.
And we're just kicking.
Well, you shouldn't have
he
said that.
He died
yeah,
in 1999.
Yeah, he's been gone for a while.
Oh, my God.
We good are, start. Mailing yeah, it in on a Friday.
Get your damn act
we're
together.
Having a tough go.
Well, we haven't been tracking Wilt Chamberlain for quite some time, but, man. You know. It's not. He died at a younger age. I think
personally
he was,
believe that.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I thought he was still alive. I apologize.
Yes. Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, but anyway, in St. Louis tomorrow night, and, you know, the Leafs, what are you going to do? Like, they have to get their damn acts together here. We know what they are. McKenzie brought up a good point yesterday on the show about the Atlantic Division, and it was on display again last night. Like, the Habs lose again in regulation. Well, Tampa lost
again. The Leafs
again.
Got lucky last night.
Yeah.
Because all the team, Buffalo lost to Calgary, Tampa lost, and the Habs lost. That's three teams you're in direct competition.
I find it goofy to be scoreboard watching in the beginning of December.
You have to be because
I know,
the Atlantic's going to be so
go
tight.
Ahead and take care of your own business and you don't have to deal with that nonsense.
Well, yes. No question about that. But if you're going to be in that race... Like, they're not catching Boston. Yeah, there's no point in care. Don't care about what Boston's
Boston?
Doing.
They're so far gone.
But that's my point. Don't right. be watching to see what Boston does. No. Like, Boston salvaged a point last night. It's irrelevant for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
The only what does matter is Florida, Montreal, Buffalo, Tampa.
Yeah.
Because it appears, even though Tampa, I keep waiting for it, they keep losing.
Yeah.
They lost at home to Minnesota. They had a lead last night.
Yeah, they did.
Like, they are not anywhere close to what they were a year ago.
No.
Montreal lost again last night. So it may not be that 98-point threshold for
maybe
that second
94.
And third spot. It could be 94.
95
for both the second and the third
But that's
seed.
Where these teams are trending anyways.
Right.
All of them. And it could come down to a hot streak that last week or... I haven't even checked the schedule. I thought about it yesterday, and then I forgot to do it. What are the Leafs and these teams that they're battling against, what do their schedules look like? You know one team's going to have a nice, easy schedule where they play a
well,
team
Well, I think
rebuilding.
The Leafs are have to be up there in terms of difficulty because they played a lot of back-to-backs. They've already been out west. They haven't been through California, but that's the easiest trip now.
Right now,
going through
yes,
California
sure.
is what they want. And they do that, I think, in March towards the end of the year.
Right.
But once they get through this roadie... And it's a tough one. St. Louis and Western Canada and, you know, the Canadian teams are not great teams.
Right.
They're not. None of them terrify you, but they're all okay teams.
They're all right there.
They're
like
right
Winnipeg,
there.
Winnipeg, same thing. Like Winnipeg
yeah.
just kind of grinds.
But you've gone through Vegas. You've gone through Colorado. You've gone through Arizona. Like, you've done that trip. Once you get through this, I think once the Leafs get into the new year... They've played a lot of their back-to-backs. They've done a lot of tough road trips. So I think they're going to settle in a little bit.
Well, that's what you're hoping for.
But it's on them. Exactly. It doesn't matter who you play. If you're going to throw away points, they played Buffalo last week and they lost.
Well, my whole thing is I'm going to look at that last week because, yeah, they played Montreal on April 4th at home. Could that be for a playoff spot?
It could be. That's the last game of the year.
Last game of the year. They played Detroit on the Thursday. And at Washington on the Tuesday.
You just hope you're in the race
but that's,
for that final
you
week.
You want to be in the
I
race.
Mean, that's what
I
you
believe
hope
they
for.
Will be. But my point is, you know, you don't want it to be that last week and you play five games. Was it a couple of years ago they played five games in 8 days? Remember, and they just, McElhinney made that left pad save.
On Crosby.
On Crosby. That put them in the playoffs.
That was the first year they got back in. That's when they were all rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they lost to Columbus the next night.
Remember, they wouldn't have made the playoffs had they not
they
got
had
that
to get
point.
That point.
They had to get that point
they
that
They had to
night.
Get that extra point, and they did. And
actually, the week before that, they play Florida, Tampa, Carolina, and Ottawa. So these are teams that are right there and in their division.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want a scoreboard watch. I thought last night in watching all the games, I'm like, you know, the Leafs had a good night, technically, because if, like Tampa, that was one of the games that – That was game in hand.
I don't think it's too early to start scoreboard watching. I don't. Because
no.
It's not like they're on their way to 115 points.
No.
And it's irrelevant what everyone else is doing or what the seedings are going to be.
Right.
They're in a race, and they're going to be in a race for the final 50 games mm-hmm. against the other four teams in the division. Detroit and Ottawa are gone. Even though Ottawa's plugging away, they're not going to be there in the end. They're not good enough. They're not deep enough. Detroit and Ottawa will fade, and it's Tampa, Florida, Toronto, Montreal, and Buffalo.
Yeah,
that's and two of them are guaranteed to get in.
Yeah,
because the wild card. I mean, anything can change. It's too early to determine that the wild card. Both spots are coming out of the Metro Division. I'm not convinced that will be the case. I think Washington's going to get in. I think the Islanders will get in. Carolina and Philly have been good. Pittsburgh's survived.
Right.
Rangers have been okay. They're right there, too.
Rangers are...
But I don't think, you know, that's a lock that five of them hit 100 points but or anything.
For the New York Rangers, who I thought had a nice summer with Panarin and Trouba...
Even that Adam Fox.
Adam Fox is a really good player. The Rangers have three games in hand on the Leafs, and they're 1 point up.
But that says everything.
But when you're talking wild card spots and stuff, if you're fighting for that spot, like the Rangers aren't going away. I think they're going to be there. Whether they fall off or not, that depends on play down the stretch. But you're right. Pittsburgh, Carolina, Tampa. You know, Columbus is at 26 points. So they're really, in essence, 4 points back. And Columbus has had turnover.
I don't think they're going to get there. I think Jersey's done. I think Columbus is done. I think Ottawa and Detroit are done.
Yes. Right.
Those are your four teams, and everyone else is kind of battling. Yeah. There's guys at the, again, Boston, Washington are at one end.
Yeah, gone.
And maybe the Islanders are in there as well.
Yeah.
But everyone else is just going to kind of battle.
So lumped together, and that's why the points are so crucial.
Right.
And that stat you said yesterday, I think that pissed off a lot of people where you're in the third period and you got an opportunity to get points and you get feathered.
Didn't happen.
Seven times
they've been tied in the third and didn't get a point.
Yeah.
That's
tough.
Those are the little battles, man. Those are the small details within the whole picture that all add up and they all matter in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like shootout wins and losses.
Right.
You know, if you go to 15 shootouts and you lose 10 of them, you might miss. If you win.
Yep.
10 of them, you might get in. Like, it can be that small of a detail. Jack Armstrong in 10 minutes on the Raptors game last night. James Harden, his take on what he looked like at courtside, and they're in Philly on Sunday trying to avoid their first three-game losing streak of the season. So we'll catch up with Jack Ray Ferraro just after 5. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Hurricanes on December 23rd. Every day this week, we have been providing you with the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And today, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. The final clue. This former Maple Leafs time in Toronto ended when he was dealt to the Coyotes for Mikael Renberg. Is it Michael Renberg? Yeah.
It's Michael.
I think it's technically Mikael Renberg, but
it's Michael.
It's Mike Renberg.
It was Michael in Philadelphia. That's
just like Michel Therrien.
Exactly.
Mike Therrien in the States.
Yeah.
In Canada, Michel Therrien.
Yeah.
So Mike Renberg. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Call in and name that Leaf, and you're going to see a game. Leafs Hurricanes.
Be a good game. It might be
an afternoon game. It's one of those afternoon games. 2 o'clock game.
Didn't they rinse Carolina?
A couple years ago, they won like 7-0.
It was like a 2 o'clock game.
Yeah, it was. It's always Carolina. I don't know why. It's
always 3 years in a row, I think.
Yeah, 3 years in a row they play Carolina.
Scott Darling started that game.
Like, I think it says something about, you know, the profile of the opponent kind of thing. Like, yeah, we'll waste an afternoon game on Carolina.
Really?
Well, I think so. That wasn't even a dig at him. I'm being dead honest with you.
Probably.
Why? They're a good team. They won a playoff round last year. Who were the Leafs to dictate about anybody? That's a ridiculous.
Get your damn act together.
Jesus.
There are 29 teams you can pick from. Or 30 teams you can pick from. Where would Carolina be if you're in the marketing department and Shanahan comes to you and goes, we need a team to play a 2 o'clock game in the afternoon. It's not more importantly, if you're a TV partner.
Yeah.
Okay, we're playing a midweek game at 2 o'clock. That's going to be tough. Which team do you think?
It's a non-traditional market. It's Arizona.
Carolina's going to be in the bottom five.
Right.
Like, they just are. That's just the truth.
Well, I wanted to
get your damn act together.
Both of your opinion on Joe Thornton and the throat punch for. I thought Mrazek sold it a little bit.
He gave him a decent shot, though.
He deserved it. Tomahawk chopped him with his stick. What do you want?
Now, Thornton gave him the jam on the glove. And Mrazek gave him the swipe.
Whoever was the defenseman for Carolina was classic. They just they were hiding behind each other, punching around each other.
But why do you go into a scrum jawing with your hands or your stick not up?
He gave him a good shot.
He gave him a pretty good pop, but like Mrazek dropped like that was a sniper from the stands.
Yeah. But goalies don't get hit that much.
Get your stick up on him.
Yeah.
You're going to skate into a scrum and a guy's going to give you a straight arm. Like, make him feel it.
You can speak to it, though.
Eat
like
composite.
I've been punched in the face several times.
No, I'm sure you have, but a lot of goalies don't think it's going to happen. That's my impression. They just assume that no one's going to touch them. And when they do get hit, they're like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming.
Exactly.
You know? You could have prepared for it.
That's what I'm saying. Don't lead with your chin going into the scrum.
You didn't see that one coming, like the bill you're about to pay?
We'll talk about that a little bit. Exactly. Everyone in the building gets an individual large pizza. I couldn't. The best thing is the grap was like, well, I always do that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I never even look at the bill.
No, I know that.
Yeah, I'll flip the bill for pizza today. How much is it? $185.
What? Get your damn act together.
I was flabbergasted.
Your head almost exploded.
No, and I don't. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
No, but
I was very reluctant to tell you too. I had a feeling there was a conversation coming.
Well, it's
dude,
one of those
when
things.
When I paid you the money for the football bet, I thought that was more than enough.
Oh, so did I. I thought he'd come in and be like $60, something like that. Like that's fine, whatever. It is what it is. But I figured he's like, well, everyone wanted something else. I'm like, well, maybe you guys could eat our pizza because we're not going to eat it all. But you guys make sure you have your own individual large,
no, they got go bags.
Like gourmet
they've got,
pizza.
They've got go bags too.
Yeah,
that's
anyway. Here's Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. What's up, Jack?
Well, you know, if he was resourceful, he would have had half the pie, like pepperoni,
no
and the
kidding.
Other half sausage, and you could have saved half the money.
Well, it's not his money, so he doesn't care.
That's true. And the fact that you said it is what it is, that means you're infuriated right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's like your wife when she's mad at you. She just says, I'm fine. That's when you know you are dead.
Yeah, well, it's karma, Jack, because I haven't paid for a while. And I'm finally a big shot today. I'm like, I'll pick it up. And this one goes through the roof. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. It is what it is, Jack.
it is
what it is. How about this story out of New York? David Fizdale fired by the New York Knicks. I mean, his record is terrible, but the Knicks are the biggest joke in the NBA, maybe in pro sports. Like, why does he have to wear this and nobody else?
Because they want him to wear it first because they know they're next.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. They were here last week, and I saw Scott Perry, their GM, and Steve Mills, their president. This was the night before U.S. Thanksgiving, which is an incredibly busy stretch where in the United States there are so many big NCAA games going on. And if you're particularly a GM, and Steve Mills somehow, some way also portrays himself as a basketball guy, played at Princeton, been in the NBA for quite a while. I mean, you would think on a night like that, you're not hanging out in Toronto watching a Raptor-Knick game where your team's getting blown out. But it seemed to me that clearly they were, making strong deliberations and considerations in the last few weeks that they were going to make a move. But, you know, it just goes to show once again that this is an organization that just can't plan a one-car parade. And, they have major problems that are truly foundational and fundamental that have to be fixed. And it's gonna take a major move by, the Dolan family or whatever to do that. Because right now, the way they're set up, it's just not working.
Well, eventually they have to close on one of these rumors that they peddle. They peddle that Durant's coming here,
right,
that Kyrie's coming here, LeBron in the past. It's always out of New York, and it's the same thing with Masai Ujiri. Every 3 or 4 months, they're the ones peddling it, that we're going to go hard after Masai, and they never close on anything, ever. They can't land anybody. They can't get meetings with anybody. And quite frankly, when you consider how poorly they've played and the operation and the owner, can you blame anyone? Why would you take a call from New York?
Well, you would, because it gives you leverage.
Well, yeah, with your own team, true.
I mean, so that, absolutely you do. And you look at what they paid Phil Jackson. If Steve Mills and or Scott Perry don't survive, that next executive, whoever that person is, is going to get paid a king's ransom with whatever kind of stipulations that executive wants. But, you know, it's a problem that starts at the top. And I think that, if you told me tomorrow that, we're considering you to, run the operation in New York, I would want some very specific things about the involvement of ownership and my ability to have control over the entire staff from top to bottom, A to Z, Z to A, everything in between, that there are absolutely nobody's untouchable. If I want anybody in the front office or support staff or anyone there, if I don't want them there, they're out. And that person's got to have a clean runway to go in there. And so there always seems to be some agenda there, and it's a mess. And it's interesting. As much as the Rangers are kind of up and down a little bit, it's not as dramatic with them. And it's the same ownership and the same building and the same practice facility, everything. But there just seems to be so much drama on the basketball side there.
What'd you make of last night, Jack? Is that basically the game plan? Take away Harden or limit him to 23 or whatever it was and then just hope the other guys don't bury you? Is that basically what you got to do and roll the dice?
Well, I think that was their decision to do that. And to me, I think it kind of... you take your chances with other guys shooting the ball, and to Houston's credit, when they went 4-on-4, they did a phenomenal job of swinging it quick. The Raptor defense was a step slow, then reacting to getting to shooters, and then on top of that, you take so many long shots, you're gonna have long rebounds. And I think if you had to point out one thing, whether you have a fully healthy Raptor team or you have an undermanned Raptor team, whatever the case may be, the one challenge I think this team has is the ability to close possessions with defensive rebounding. I mean, if the Raptors do a half-decent job for defensive rebounding last night, now that game's probably coming down to the last play of the game. I'm not saying they're going to win. But they just could not close possessions. And, and the last few nights, the Raptors, again, have done a pretty good job moving the ball, just not shooting the ball as well. And when you play again, my partner Matt Devlin last night made a great point. When you play a team like Houston, you got to make shots because they're going to make theirs. And then last but not least, I don't think the Raptors in the last two games against Miami and Houston last night, and even in the particularly the third quarter against Utah, where they were up 40 at halftime, and they put on a clinic. And that's as good as I've ever seen them play. From that point on, they've kind of been, like, stuck in mud and kind of just a little lethargic, not the same zip offensively, the same pace and tempo and mojo defensively. So I'm looking out there the last two games, and I know the competition's better, but Utah's good too. They beat Philly the week before. They're winning teams. They're good teams. And it's just to have them play with the same zip and pop that I have seen them play with in the first major stretch of the season.
With Jack Armstrong, I think James Harden, with only 3 assists last night, is one of the most deceiving stats I've ever seen, because I thought everything went through him. I thought he was brilliant last night. Jack, I don't know how you felt about it, but... to your point, they found the open guy, but it was a swing pass away. Like, he got rid of it at the perfect time. They double him. They try to trap him. I thought even though he only had 23, only got to the line 6 times, he factored in significantly for Houston last night.
No, I agree. He was awesome. He played at that perfect controlled speed that, like, he almost, like, the ball in his hands, it was like a magnet within the ball, and he drew the second defender, and he's so tall and strong that he made the correct next pass that led to either the shot or led to the next shot. As we all call it, the Gretzky pass. And, people don't get credited enough for that pass that then stimulates the assist. And I really thought that he did a beautiful job in terms of his overall floor game. He shot when he should shoot. He passed when he should pass. And he dribbled it when he should dribble it. And that's what great players do. And usually when you see guys that do the wrong thing, they're not in the category of great. He is. And for as much as he gets criticized for playing ISO ball, I think he takes what the defense gives him. And a lot of times he plays iso ball because teams will, on the flip side of it, they'll run around and chase or try to deny all the other guys of three-point shooting, and they'll say, okay, we're going to put a Harden on an island and try to make him a driver as much as he can and shoot twos and try to get him to go to the basket without fouling. But he's so good at drawing fouls. I mean, the guy is just a masterful offensive player, and he's deceivingly quick. But he can – it's a stupid term I use, but it's so true. He outslows you. Like, he just lulls you to sleep. He's got all the herky-jerky moves and head and shoulder fakes, and he's got an incredibly tight, quick handle. He's just a masterful player.
Would you think there'd be some internal urgency on Sunday, Jack, going into Philly? That's two in a row. It's not like the end of the world that they don't win that game. Their record shows that. But you would think within that locker room, the guys would be saying, okay, let's stop this here and go into Philly, who's a good team, and end this and get back in the W column.
Oh, I'd say so. And then you got Chicago the next night on a back-to-back. They're starting to show a little life now. They're a talented young team. And then, of course, you got the return of Kawhi and the Clippers on Wednesday, which will be a gong show. So, I would say there's going to be urgency. The challenge is, as you know you're getting their best punch. I mean, Joel Embiid is the straw that stirs the drink on their team. He was embarrassed in Toronto. He didn't score a point, and he was a laughingstock, a lot of people getting on his case. So you know that guy has that game circled, and therefore all the other guys in that room are going to have that game circled. So you're going to get their best punch on Sunday night, and you're going to have to take it, and you're going to have to be able to find ways to counter that, particularly early. You got to get through that first quarter without that blitzkrieg coming at you, and find a way to just hang around and just be the better team in the meat and bones of the game. But to me, I think you got a major challenge on your hands Sunday. But it's probably a good game for the Raptors to play on Sunday, because I think after the Miami game and the Houston game, I think they need another really good, tough opponent to test themselves against. I think this Raptor team's really good. I think they will be really good. I mean, what are they, 15-6 right now? I'll take 15-6 in every 21-game stretch. I'll sign up right now. At the same time, they got to be able to play at a higher – your margin of error, as you guys know, is a lot slimmer against better competition. And therefore, you got to be sharper. And they have not been as sharp the last two games.
Enjoy it on Sunday, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, no problem. I'll have a little pepperoni, a little sausage, maybe a little gorgonzola cheese.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
We have it all for $120 bucks.
Yeah, we got everything for you. Yeah. We'll ship it to Buffalo for you.
but in Buffalo, you always got to have chicken wings as well.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure those are on the side, too.
Yeah, I'm sure something. They are. And dipping sauces, right? You got to have
dipping. No, don't forget that every week.
The only thing we actually want, they won't show up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're programmed for disappointment, Jack. That's how we roll here.
Guess what? It is what it is, right? Yes.
It's the only way to put it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Have a great weekend, boys.
Thank you, Jack. There's Jack Armstrong. All week long, we've been announcing daily qualifiers who have a shot to see Kawhi's return to Toronto next Wednesday, December 11th, down at Scotiabank. Today, we announced the grand prize winner. The winner is Dwayne Dixon from North York. Shout out to Double D, Dwayne Dixon. You're going to see Kawhi Leonard back in town next Wednesday night down at Scotiabank. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. Big rematch in the boxing world this weekend. You guys hear about this? Your boy Andy Ruiz Jr.?
No.
So he's the guy, he's cut like a milk bag.
Yes.
And he beat Anthony Joshua the last time out. Beat him handedly, too.
I remember that, yeah.
So the rematch is going on this weekend. He weighed in this morning, okay? He weighed in. The last fight against Joshua, he was 268 pounds.
290.
Noodles?
287.
283. He's 15 pounds over when he won, and it was a shock because of how he's built.
Yeah.
And then after the fight, he said, yeah, I'll give him another rematch, but, you know, I want to get back in shape, and I'm going to... Yeah. He's 15 over the last fight.
Works for him. He doesn't care.
Look at him up there. That's him. He's getting ready. Joshua has lost, I think, 15 pounds. Like, he's even more shredded and even more cut.
This Joshua wants to just chew him alive.
Yeah, but watch, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, man. Like, because that's what happened last time. Joshua, who I believe was undefeated, and everyone was like, he can't beat him, blah, blah, blah. And this guy, Andy Ruiz Jr., he's probably like, this is like Rocky, basically. Yeah. Like, just give me some plug off the street so I can lay a beating on him and move on.
Jeez.
And Andy Ruiz Jr. laid a beating on him. And Wow. Now they're going at it again tomorrow night, and he's 15 over where he was.
I may have to watch that.
Last time. Yeah, that is going to be an event.
Is that a pay-per-view? Is that something like...
Oh, yeah. It's a pay-per-view.
How much would you pay to watch that?
$20, tops.
Then you're not getting it.
You're not getting it.
It's $34.99.
Oh, it's way more than that. Like, pay-per-views? When was the last time you bought a pay-per-view?
Well, I spent $100 on the Conor McGregor fight.
Exactly.
That's
not Conor McGregor.
That's not Conor McGregor.
I know that. It won't be $99. I paid $100, I remember, for Pacquiao Mayweather. Remember that?
So that one, I paid the same
thing. I got to think it's $69.99 or something like that. $70?
I think
it's not. It's not 30, dude. It's not 30 bucks.
It's $34.99 if it's a dollar.
No
chance. If it's more, I don't know if you're getting.
It's the heavyweight belt on the line. Like, that doesn't hold the same. You know,
McGregor, I'll pay $100 for. Anything else? No way.
Andrew Ruiz Jr.
Al's brother in the grappler fight in the parking lot.
Well, we don't condone that. We don't want to see that happen.
I know, but that's what I would rather watch.
In luchador masks.
Yeah.
That would be pretty.
Underpants with tatty refereeing.
Somebody asked me the other day, like, how big is the grappler? And I had to, like, show a picture on Instagram. I'm like, he's a mutant. He's like 6'5". And I don't know. I was showing it to people. I'm like, yeah, that's the grappler. Oh, he's different than what I figured he would look like. I think we've described him like he's like some monster or something behind
no,
the back.
No, he's got his act together.
Handsome guy. Yeah. He's just tall.
And order absurd amounts of pizza.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to go through that order when it shows up. Because
get the bill.
I want to know exactly who's getting...
$20 in his pocket or something. Or
yeah.
I think there are to-go bags involved.
Oh, I think there's that big staff party tonight. I think I'm paying for the food.
Exactly.
I think the grappler...
Are you attending?
I don't know if I can make that. I got another event I'm going to tonight. I'm going to try to make an appearance. Yeah. Are you going down?
No way. No way.
We'll see. We'll see if we can get down there. Yeah. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.